Hello, and welcome to Grants Creek Baptist Church in Maysville, North Carolina. We're a Southern Baptist church with a heart for worship, sharing God's love with all people by being the hands and feet of Jesus. We pray that you are truly blessed by this recording of our Sunday evening worship services with Pastor Steve Grissom. Join us now as Pastor Steve leads us through the Word of God.
Good morning. God bless you for being here. This is an event that I always look forward to. I'm always excited about a baptism, and for good reason. And one of the things that we do here at Grants Creek is after the baptism, we have a celebration. We have a get-together and party, and we really hoot it up, okay? I'm pretty sure there's some cake over there somewhere. And there's a slice with my name on it, so if you see that piece, keep your hands off of that one. I'm looking at you. I do enjoy the performing the baptisms here at Grants Creek, and it's one of the two ordinances that we have been commissioned to do. As the church, the Lord give us these commission, that is to partake of the Lord's Supper, and that is to baptize. And these are the things that it is a privilege and an honor to be a part of. And I don't know if you've kept up with it, but I think, I'm not sure if my numbers are accurate, Mark, but I think in the past year and a half we've had 33 baptisms. And so God is good, amen? I just am always excited to see what God will do if you just let God do what He does. And that is that people will respond to what it is that they hear from His Word. And so this is what's happened. This is what's taking place. Baptism is a very serious step that's to be taken by a believer that is committed to follow Jesus. Baptism is something that we should celebrate in the life of a Christian. And that's why we do what it is that we do. And I want to be brief tonight, but at the same time, I'm going to be thorough in the fact that I want people to understand what it means to be baptized. There may be some of you here that have got questions concerning baptism and what it means and why we baptize. You know, why do some people dunk folks and why do some people sprinkle people? Should we baptize babies? And so there's lots of questions concerning baptism. So I hope that we will talk with some of it tonight. The reason that I've chosen this particular passage in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, is to me it's the best description as to what baptism truly represents in a believer's life. And within the Baptist denomination, we celebrate these ordinances. So this is why we're doing this. It's important for us to remember we're under the commandment of our Lord Jesus, the Great Commission that most of us know about. When Jesus was ascending into heaven, He gave this last bit of instruction to His disciples in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now this is the Lord's final instructions that was given to the apostles and the disciples that they were with Him at that time as far as what it was that they were to do. The last things that He told them, He's telling them to make disciples, and when you make these disciples, if they're disciples of mine, they should be baptized. He says to teach them to obey His commands that He's given. So this was a clear commandment of Jesus to be baptized. Now Jesus speaks this with authority. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So with this authority, He gives them this command to go and to make disciples and to baptize these new disciples. Each baptism that we perform here at Grants Creek, you're going to hear me say a lot of the same things that I say tonight. And we've had a lot of baptisms over the past year and a half. And so you've probably heard me talk about these things that I'll say again tonight. And so it'll be worth listening to again, okay? This, and it's because there's a lot of different thoughts about baptism, how it should be done, where it should be done, and the reasons it should be done. Some would say that you should baptize children when they're infants. And just as Abraham was commanded to circumcise the children at such a few days old, they were to do that for showing that they belonged to the Lord, and they were associated with Abraham, and they were a part of the nation of Israel. And so some people say that you should baptize little ones because of that very reason. Some say that sprinkling is the appropriate way to baptize. Sprinkling got its origin back in the Old Testament. As the priests would go into the tabernacle, they would cleanse themselves. And the word for cleanse is often related to baptism or to be baptized. And that's where they sprinkled themselves and washed themselves before they went into it. It was a process of cleansing. It was also used as a convenient way to baptize. I baptized a fellow once, and I think I probably told you, in a hospital who had cancer, and we weren't sure that he was going to come out, so I positioned him in such a way that I could pour water over his head. You know, when we get into looking at this is the way it's supposed to be, we get into a real legalistic idea of what's supposed to be done. Baptism is something that we do because we are obedient to what it is the Lord has commanded us to do. Another question or thought is that many believe that when you're baptized, that's when you receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment that you're immersed, and when you come back up, that's when the Holy Spirit comes into your body. Some believe that your sins are washed away in these waters back here, and that you're not truly saved until the moment of baptism. Now, I'm not here tonight to criticize the different forms of baptism. I'm going to tell you why we baptize like we do, but I'm not here to criticize all of these different forms. I'm not going to put down why and how many other denominations perform this act, because every Christian denomination that I know performs baptism in some way or another. But I will tell you that we Baptists perform this act in this particular way by immersing people into the water completely, and there's a reason that we do it. We believe that a person that is being baptized must profess the fact that they're born again Christians. And I can tell you that these five that are here tonight have made that profession. I have talked with each one of them and asked them, and we've discussed it many times, and they understand what it means to be saved. They've made that profession of faith, and they will do that publicly as they stand before everyone here tonight as we get ready to put them into the water. And that's the only requirement to be baptized. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to sign any papers. You don't have to do anything. You profess that you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, and you'll be baptized. That's it. So don't make this thing more complicated than it needs to be made. So, understand that salvation and baptism are truly two separate events, and you must first be saved, and then your response to that act, you're baptized. If you'll take your Bibles and look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, do I want to read all this? Yes, I do. I'm going to read part of it, and then I'm going to get to... Let me just start. Let me start and go where I'm going to go. Amen? That's a real weak amen. Thank you so much. Chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to begin at verse 26. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip was one of the first deacons, okay? This was a unique deacon. He was a deacon, but he was also able to preach. Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch and an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "Now, how can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from him? The eunuch asked Philip, he's asked him, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Now, this is the part I want us to pay attention to, okay? Then Philip began with that very message of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as he traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, that's just an indication of how he went in. It wasn't sprinkled on him. He was down in the water, and he came up out of the water. And the eunuch did not see him. Listen, back up. He came up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared to Azotus and traveled about preaching and the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, some of the later versions, the NIV doesn't have this particular one. Philip said in this area, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. When he asked the question, why shouldn't he be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you should be. The eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he said. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And he was baptized. Now, it's an interesting thing here that this was an immediate response. It wasn't something that he put off. It wasn't something that he thought about over a period of a year. It was something that happened to him. He realized that I should be baptized. And so that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And I know a lot of times people put off baptism, and you know, that, and people wonder if it's really necessary. Thank you, brother. That'd be good for another hour. Go on. I'll be baptizing you with this cup. Some people think that I've got to be baptized in a particular place. I got to have somebody special that does it. It's just a lot of different reasons that people make excuse not to be baptized. And I think really it's because it's not taught in the church that much as far as what it means to be baptized and the importance of baptism. If you'll remember, Jesus commanded this to be done just before he ascended into heaven. It was his command. I mean, I don't always understand everything that the Lord commands us, but if it comes from his mouth, I believe that it's something that I should do. And after that happened, a voice from heaven, when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven and it said, this is my Son who I am well pleased. God the Father believed that baptism was important because he recognized when Jesus was baptized, he was pleased. The point is that baptism is not salvation. Salvation comes when we believe and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Then our response to that knowledge is the profession of our faith through the act of baptism. And I've talked with it. Now, I can get into a lot of stories and reasons why this is, and I don't want to go and explain a lot of stuff about the thief on the cross, but you recognize the fact that the thief on the cross did not have the opportunity to be baptized, but he was saved. He was saved. But that's not an excuse for us not to be baptized. He didn't have the opportunity to be baptized. But it lets me know that salvation is not in the water. It's in a changed heart. I've talked with these candidates, and I'm professed before you on their behalf tonight that they have made that profession to me in my office several times because it's something that we talked about quite extensively. And so this is a great time of celebration. This is an exciting time for us. And it's a great event. Now, we see that Philip and the eunuch went down in the water, and as I made that point, they went down in the water and they came back up. And the reason that we believe in the full immersion is because it makes it possible to really identify with the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. It's how we can identify with Him. How we can identify with Him. Just remember that. When the preacher in the Baptist church baptized you, you were taken to the water and you were pushed under. And, you know, some of you, I may have held a little longer than you thought I should have. I may do that tonight. Celine, I just don't know. Nah, she won't have a swim. So why we do this, this is explained in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 11. Let me read this to you and listen carefully. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live to it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And if we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He no longer died again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin, what does it say? Once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So in baptism, we identify with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the act of baptism is a symbol of that event in our Lord's life. Just as we share in the communion, it's not that we are receiving salvation when we take the communion. We're not receiving salvation when we take of the juice and the bread. There's not salvation in that. It's a symbol of what our Lord has done and accomplished on the cross. Baptism is our identifying with Him in that we were buried to an old life, and now we live a new life in Him. What a beautiful thing that is when we're baptized. We baptize again as a symbol of an outward act that's taken place already in the person inwardly. There's no salvation in the communion, beloved, and there's no salvation in that water that's behind me. Jesus Christ is our salvation, and by no other means. And you see, if baptism were a sacrament, then being that the act somehow has some saving power in it, that the act of baptism somehow brings salvation, then it would be important that babies and young ones were baptized, if that's the case. But beloved, there's no saving power in that water. There's only water back there. Right, Graham? He's not here, so. We're saved by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We're saved by believing that He died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. We are saved when we confess that He is Lord of our lives, and that is salvation, and that it's salvation alone. Baptism is what we do in obedience towards the One who has accomplished all of this in our lives. It is the confession before everyone as to what we have put our faith and our trust in. So here is the problem with the sacramental system of communion or baptism. You take the authority of grace that only comes from God and you give it to the church or a person in the church to distribute grace. What God does, friends, God is the only one can do. Man cannot distribute anything. Man cannot grant anything. Man cannot grant absolution. Man cannot grant forgiveness. Man cannot grant salvation. Only God can grant grace, and God does not offer this wonderful gift through some ritual or some rite. The Apostle Paul sent so many letters trying to turn people from their old way of thinking. Ephesians chapter 2 and 8 and 9 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the what? It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Baptism is important, friends. It is what we should do as a public confession and profession of our faith. It is commended for that purpose. And that purpose is to identify with the Lord in His death and His resurrection. There are those that would say also that you receive the Holy Spirit when you're baptized, and when you come up out of the water, that's when the Holy Spirit comes into your life. That's not true. each of these tonight that are being baptized, the moment they accepted Jesus Christ into their life, the Holy Spirit began to live in them at that moment. Brianna and Alyssa and Celine and Bill and Hayden want you to know that. They want you to know that they're saved and they believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior. They've come here tonight to make that profession before God and before our families and before all of their friends. You got a big crowd here tonight, guys. They must love you. I don't know why. We're here to celebrate that fact. We will be here to remind them when they struggle from time to time that they're part of a new family. And that we will always be there to help lift them up and hold them up. We are witnessing this event for a purpose. And that purpose is that we are in a constant encouragement to them. We are to be a teacher. We are to be an example. To share in the victories and lift them up in times of discouragement. Because you'll have both. And let me say this about baptism. Baptism is not that you're receiving something from God. Baptism is a response to God as an expression of what you have already received. And what we've received is His grace, friends. And let me just make a profound statement. And you need to get this tonight. And don't leave here until you get this. If you heard me read Romans chapter 6, right? Verses 1 through 10. The profound statement is that before Paul wrote chapter 6, he wrote chapter 5. And I want to read part of that, okay? So, what is that profound statement? I'm going to look at verses 18 through 21. Now listen carefully. Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life to all men. For just as through the obedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, talking about Adam. So also through the obedience of one man, the many were made righteous through Jesus Christ. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. I could preach on that, but I'm not. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace must reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus made the way, beloved, not some man, not some ritual, not some water, not some cracker. Jesus Christ is the one who made the way. So when we receive this precious gift of grace, when we receive this free gift that we cannot earn, when we accept forgiveness that only comes from the Lord, then what should we do? What is our response? Well, if you look at Acts chapter 8, there were some folks that asked that very question. Acts chapter 2, there were some guys that Peter had just preached to. The Lord had ascended into heaven. A number of days later passed, and they go to this particular place, the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came upon these men and the ladies that were there. And Peter preached this wonderful message, and there was a question that was asked. And Acts chapter 2, 36 to 38, it says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, this was the response of those that received grace then, and it's the same response of the people today that receive grace in the time we live, to be baptized. Let me just try to close with these thoughts, and I want to make some sense of chapter 6. There's something that happens to a new believer when he receives Jesus in his life. There is something that happens to a new believer when they receive Jesus in his life. He or she dies to sin. They're no longer under the rule of sin. I'm not saying that you don't sin, but you're not a slave to sin any longer. Okay? It doesn't dictate your life. It doesn't demand things of you. When we read this passage, we're not reading about how we are to be baptized, but that it is a good description of how we have died to sin. That how we now are to live for Christ. This is nothing that can happen or take place in a baptismal pool. It is something that has taken place in a new and regenerated heart. We do this to be reminded that we now share in the life of Christ. We are one with Jesus in this. Bill and Alyssa and Brianna and Celine and Hayden, I'll just say this to you tonight. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's a good description of what should happen to us, okay? In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think differently. Don't respond to things the same way you used to, okay? God's Word will cause you to think differently. It'll change your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Let this evening be a marking point in your transformation. Let this be a night that you won't forget. You'll always remember it. Let this time forward set you on a new course, and that direction is in the direction that is led by Jesus and not by others all around you. Not a course of your own making. Not a decision to go where you want to go. But a life that is set by the One that knows you from the moment that you were ever conceived. The One that has a purpose from you from the very beginning. Now, know this, if you don't remember anything else, there's nothing magical or mystical in these waters that are behind me. When I married Miss Kim 35 years ago, there was nothing fantastical or magical that happened when I slipped the wedding ring on her finger. The ring doesn't make me married. The wedding ring is a symbol of the vows that I made to Miss Kim when I promised to love her for all my life, to be with her through good times and not, to promise before God that I would always stay with her. That made me married. The ring is a symbol for everybody that can see it and for she and I as we look at it to remind us of that day that we made that promise to each other. Let this night, let this event be that marker in your life that you'll never forget, that you'll never forget that you made this commitment to follow Jesus Christ. I want you to realize this, friends. You're not just temporarily saved until the next time you sin. You are saved forever. The reason is because of what He accomplished was permanent. This baptism tonight is just a reminder of that. Tonight we've got five souls that have come before us ready to commit fully to the Lord by this act of baptism. They have asked you here to witness this event, that they might take or make known to all of you, that they are believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this evening and for this so special event that we can share in this time with these five that have come tonight. I pray that if there is another here that so desires to make this type of commitment, that they will make this decision even tonight. I pray it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we've come to the close of today's message, how is the Holy Spirit using this sermon to speak to you? Have you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or are you in need of prayer for spiritual or physical needs? There's no better time than right now to reach out to God in prayer. We would love to pray with you or hear about your testimony. You can contact us on the web at www.grantscreekbaptist.com to let us know of a salvation decision, a prayer request, or to email Pastor Steve about your relationship with the Lord. If you're looking for a church home, then look no further. Welcome home to Grants Creek Baptist in Maysville, North Carolina. Join us for our worship services on Sundays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and you can also join us for Sunday school at 9:45 a.m. On Wednesday evenings, we have a Bible study and youth activities starting at 7. Be sure to check out our calendar of events on our website to see other special programs that happen throughout the week. Thanks again for listening to today's sermon with Pastor Steve Grissom. We look forward to worshiping God together with you real soon.